Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. Section A. Planning and Zoning says no to new housing in Legends Development by Mella McEwen. Amid intense opposition from residents, members of the Planning and Zoning Commission voted 4-1 Monday to deny plans for a housing development inside the Legends Development. In another vote, commissioners also denied a request by Park Hill to plat a subdivision on the acreage. D.R. Horton, Texas, had requested an initial zoning of SF3, Single Family Dwelling District, on 24.014 acres at the east side of Victory Parkway and south of Hall of Fame Boulevard, land that is in the process of being annexed by the City of Midland. Numerous residents opposed the request, citing streets that are dangerous because the area is already so densely populated, speeding drivers through the area, and a neighborhood school that is already well over capacity. Others noted that they had been promised when they purchased their property that no more homes would be built and were charged a premium because of it. Several speakers said they weren't opposed to development, but they felt this was not being planned correctly, while others wanted the development to wait until additional roads and schools were built to handle the additional population. Eric West with Park Hill, representing D.R. Horton, listened to the comments and said the developer would address issues such as drainage from the new housing to existing homes, an issue some speakers brought up. "I do think there are a few issues that would be better addressed by city staff," he said, citing the city's ability to implement traffic calming measures to minimize speeding. Impact fees the city has been collecting from developers over the last couple of years have now grown substantial enough they can help the city address the impact of new development beyond what's normally included in the developments, West added. A second housing proposal drew some opposition, but was approved by commissioners 3-1 with one abstention. Brad Schwab had requested a zone change from L1, light industrial to MF22, multifamily dwelling district, on 8.823 acres at West Cliff Drive south of Andrews Highway. Schwab is planning senior housing at the site to consist of 89 one-bedroom units and 111 two-bedroom units, a two-story clubhouse, and amenities that include a pickleball court and dog wash station. It will be age-restricted, and because he is receiving tax credits, income-restricted as well. Opponents saying the plan was not a good fit for the site, given its proximity to Forest Brothers Tires, West Texas Automotive, a dance and cheer studio, and the West Texas Food Bank. They were concerned about additional traffic, trespassers on their property, and increased crime. Schwab countered that the average of residents at other senior housing he has built is over 70, and he expressed doubt they would be crossing Andrews Highway to go to HEB or Chick-fil-A. While he couldn't promise it would be crime-free, "these are good people," Schwab said. In other action, the Planning and Zoning unanimously approved a request by MidPYR LLC and Roger Gearhart for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a bar for the Apex Club to be located at 15 Smith Road, Suite 2222. Unanimously approved a request by Alexander Gamboa for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a coffee shop and bar for Legends Coffee and Tequila, 312 North Colorado, the former location of Cora's Bistro. MISD could be one step closer to bond after Thursday, by Stuart Doreen. Bond planning will be on the agenda Thursday when an expanded group of concerned Midlanders meet at 6 p.m. Thursday in the Legacy High School library. Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard said the meeting will include those who served on the district's long-range planning committee, along with an expanded group of members including students, staff, parents, and community members. We are hopeful that many of the committee members will want to continue this work with the district moving into bond planning, if that is the recommendation Thursday night, Howard wrote in an email to the Reporter Telegram. Midland ISD said Monday that a list of participants won't be available until after the event on Thursday. We will ask this group for recommendations on next steps, which could be to form a bond committee, Howard wrote. This committee is not a bond planning committee, so the current committee coming together will not make a bond recommendation. There has been conversation that Midland ISD would like to have a bond proposal presented to the community in time for a November election. In November, the Long Range Planning Committee provided 13 recommendations to the school board. The top two were campus improvements and the building of two new high schools to accommodate students in 9th through 12th grades. Other recommendations from the Long Range Committee included the building of a new elementary school in Northeast Midland, repurposing the current Midland Freshman School as a middle school, repurposing Legacy High School as a middle school, general campus improvements specifically for accessibility and code, the demolition of Legacy Freshman High, and the designation of the land as a future school site, the rezoning of the current General Franks Elementary School when the new elementary school in Northeast Midland opens, determining a future use of Midland High, general campus improvements, specifically building interiors, general campus improvements, specifically site improvements, general campus improvements, specifically building exteriors, and purchase land for future elementary school in the district's southern regions. When Howard was named superintendent, she said she wanted more conversation from stakeholders, staff, community members, etc. Thursday's meeting will allow that opportunity. The meeting will be held at Legacy High School, which is notable because of lack of support for the 2019 bond from those living in Legacy precincts. Howard is a former principal of Lee High School, which was renamed Legacy, and her pick as superintendent was highly regarded by supporters of Legacy. MDC authorizes agreement with Interflight Global by Mella McEwen. Members of the Midland Development Corporation opened their February monthly meeting welcoming new member Zachary Deck. Deck, who also serves on the Planning and Zoning Commission, fills the vacancy left by Stephen Lowry, who stepped off the board after his term expired. Then board members got to work, first authorizing a consultant services agreement with Interflight Global Corporation for a contract not to exceed $159,500 for work in helping procure new tenants for the Spaceport Business Park. Board Chair Chase Gardafi noted the agreement includes a price increase, but pointed out that Interflight has helped sponsor visitation tours of the spaceport facilities, sponsored workshops, and introduced the MDC to new tenants such as Firehawk Aerospace. In addition, he said Interflight is sponsoring a high-speed aerospace transportation workshop this year. Board members also approved a $7,500 contract with Big Apple Group for engineering services related to the pending demolition of the Western United Life building. Big Apple focuses on demolition, Gardafi explained. We felt it would be prudent to bring in a third party to make sure everything is done correctly due to concerns from neighboring building owners. Big Apple will look through all of the plans, just an extra set of eyes. The remainder of the board meeting was dominated by discussion of how to address the concerns of existing businesses. Sammy Steele, MDC's Business Retention and Expansion Coordinator, told board members she had visited 10 businesses in January, focusing on restaurants and hospitality businesses. Supply chain issues dominated their concerns, she reported. Costs have gone up, so businesses are having to raise prices, but workers are also demanding pay raises to cope with rising costs. Businesses are having to walk a fine line in raising prices to manage costs and wages, but not so much that they scare off customers. Businesses also reported feeling overshadowed by the oil and gas industry, she said. There are other successful industries, other successful companies outside energy, she said. This is a reminder we need everybody here and not be reliant on oil and gas. One way to support businesses is networking, and Steele has been working for many months to secure a local chapter of the 1 Million Cups of Coffee Networking Association. But due to its constraints, weekly meetings, membership only for companies younger than 5 years, and no investors allowed, she proposed starting a local networking effort in a similar vein, something heartily supported by board members. Second Story has offered to build a website for this effort and offer a meeting place for monthly meetings. Midland College and the University of Texas Permian Basin have also offered support, and other entities have volunteered coffee and refreshments for the meetings. Steele said veteran entrepreneurs would be welcome to offer mentorship to younger businesses, and investors would also be welcome. A tentative first meeting of this new effort is set for April, and meetings would be the second Wednesday of each month from 8 to 9 a.m. Conservancy Reality Limit Is Their Imaginations by Stuart Doreen. Those who read this column regularly know I was not a big fan of the Hogan Park project. not because of conservancies or other reasons, four members voted it down, but because I thought Hogan Park was the last place in Midland that I would spend $40 to $55 million in upgrades. I would have liked to have seen the city sell the Hogan Park property south of the Bill Williams softball complex to a developer or trade acreage to the school district for the Ranchland Hills Golf Club. I always thought that would be a better location for a future Midland High than the acreage off Fairgrounds Road. I thought there were other areas in Midland where that bang for the buck would have gone farther. Does it mean I would have voted against the conservancy plan? Probably not. But even weeks after that, the four members sat on their dais and emphatically stated, Midland isn't for sale. Not on their watch. I say time for Plan B and can't wait for what may be in store for the Permian Basin Quality of Place Conservancy. Because whether Conservancy members realize it or not, their limits will be their imagination. Here are ideas to pitch the Conservancy as their plan goes to Plan B. And the beauty with each is the Midland City Council, a group with no imagination or at least no willingness to take a risk, can't get in the way. Go to Jim Henry and say, let's make the Bush Tennis Center a more complete athletic complex. The four members of the City Council told Midlanders they have Hogan Park covered when it comes to improved baseball facilities, so go to the next item. If we are talking about what's next, I would say an indoor complex that will be the site of the top club volleyball basketball facilities in Midland, Odessa. The goal here is to build a facility that will bring more events to Midland, Odessa, and give the area a facility that is comparable to the swimming and diving complex at COM Aquatics or the tennis facilities at the Bush Tennis Center and Midland College. Point is, that amount of money will check off a lot of boxes. Two words. Nueva Vista. Use that money to buy the land in Northwest Midland and put in a quality of place facility unlike any park in Midland. The water feature possibilities will make this the signature park in Midland, far better than anything the city of Midland can dream up. Hiking, biking, fishing. There is so much prime green space acreage that our only limitations will again be our imaginations. And with the development in West and Northwest Midland, it becomes a central site to those new Midlander companies are trying to attract. And those people in East Midland can't complain about the investment some seek to bring to Northwest Midland, because three representatives of East Midlanders vetoed that investment. I'm sure there are reasons these attempts to improve Midland might not work. But like anything else facing our community, leaders must be willing to go beyond what we have experienced before. Want to bring water to the county? Want to improve school facilities? Want to improve infrastructure or build a new jail? Our leaders can't rely on the blueprints of yesterday. That no longer is going to cut it. Yes, there will be risk and reward. And in some cases, yes, it will require our leaders to put themselves out there and think not just about their territory, but Midland as a whole. Yes, in the case of my ideas above, there will be revenue sources required to keep these projects going long term. In some cases, revenue sources will make it impossible for all Midlanders to be able to use those facilities as much as some would like. when four members of the Midland City Council said no to the Progress Conservancy members sought, restrictive use became part of the equation. I have to be honest. I'm not sure Midlanders are represented by men and women with the imagination needed to pull off 21st century projects on entities across government. We play it safe because safe is easier to spin on the radio in front of the keyboard warriors and on the campaign trail. Will safe improve a parks system, water accessibility, education facilities, healthcare, or quality of place inside the capital of America's largest oil patch? It hasn't thus far. We will see if the umpteenth time is the charm. Until then, this newspaper welcomes ideas from those willing to think bigger than what we are. County warns about jury duty or warrant scams by Ben Schaefer. Midland County residents have received scam phone calls that say there is a warrant for their arrest or they failed to report for jury duty, according to Midland County. Midland County would like to warn and remind residents that although scammers may use real information about the victim, display real court addresses, and may even spoof their caller ID to look like the call is coming from county officials, the court and law enforcement will never ask for payment over the phone or credit card information to satisfy an obligation. Scammers have even crafted fake warrant documents to send to Midland County residents. These are not from Midland County. Student Using Midland College to Realize His Dream by Rebecca Bell. Noy Z. Gonzalez is a 20-year-old Midland College student with a plan that started as a dream he thought he was incapable of attaining. Once he learned self-discipline and personal motivation, he realized that he has the ability to turn the dream into a feasible plan. "My plan is to earn a bachelor's degree and enlist in the U.S. Army," Gonzalez explained. "After basic training and officer candidate school, my ultimate goal is to qualify for Army Special Operations and deploy in order to fight oppression throughout the world. I truly believe that through the military, I can serve and help people." While attending Midland High School, Gonzalez was a member of Junior ROTC. It was there that he became interested in pursuing the military as a career. However, he was out of shape and admittedly lacked much enthusiasm for anything but playing video games. In 2021, during the end of his senior year in high school, Gonzalez discovered a passion for health and fitness. He started training at Midland BJJ and MMA and is now an amateur mixed martial arts and Brazilian jiu-jitsu competitor. He also has a black belt in taekwondo. "When I was a child, my father, who is a private softball and baseball coach, encouraged me to play various sports. But when I was a young teenager, I became disinterested in sports and started staying inside and playing video games," Gonzalez explained. "I didn't realize it at the time, but I also think I suffered with a degree of depression." At 5'3" tall, Gonzalez said he was a chubby teen and was an easy target for bullies. "The first time I walked through the doors of Midland, BJJ, and MMA, I weighed 160 pounds, he said. "I lost 30 pounds and gained a vast amount of self-confidence." Today, Gonzalez is a Midland College Legacy Scholar. He said that in addition to providing a scholarship for full tuition, the Legacy program has also helped him develop a sense of community custodianship and taught him invaluable leadership skills. In May, he will obtain an associate degree and become the first person in his family to graduate from college. In August, he plans to continue his higher education journey at the University of Texas Permian Basin, pursuing a bachelor's degree in interpersonal communications. I was a terrible high school student. However, I'm a much better college student, he said. I now realize that I have the ability to pursue things that I want in life. My favorite class at MC has been philosophy and ethics, taught by Brenton Cross. Taking the class gave me skills to discuss differing ideas in a civil way and accept others with different cultures. I chose interpersonal communications as my major because it's important for a good leader to understand team members, learn how to communicate with them, and read emotions. I am blessed to have a purpose and goal in life. It's rare for someone my age to have his life planned. My personal motto is, it's better to die for something than live for nothing. Rebecca Bell is the Executive Director of Institutional Advancement at Midland College. Second Grade Teacher Seeks Help for Literacy Tools by Ben Schaefer. Ms. Hazelwood, a second grade teacher at Texas Leadership Charter School, is seeking a teaching easel and literacy tools for her classroom. The project expires May 30th, and there is still $749 needed to fully fund it. Hazelwood, who moved into her classroom at the end of November, said the easel will help her teach during small and whole group discussions. I have 24 students, and 15 of them are well below grade level in all areas of literacy. When I set goals with them, every single student said they wanted to learn to read better, Hazelwood said in her post. Donate online at donors.choose.org/easel-peasel-lemon-squeezel/7162631/. Education Briefs. Richard Milburn Academy Public Hearing. Property owners, parents, and others in a parental relationship to students attending the campuses of Richard Milburn Academy are invited to attend a public hearing regarding the academic performance of the district. Richard Milburn Academy, Texas, Incorporated, will host the public hearing based on the Texas Academic Performance Report, TAPR, for the 2021-2022 school year, February 17th at 10 a.m. by video conference. For additional meeting details, please visit rmaschools.org or call 830-557-6181, extension 4. Greenwood ISD to offer credit by examination tests. Greenwood High School will offer credit by examination tests with or without prior instruction from 8 a.m. to noon, March 1st and 2nd. Tests will be administered on the student's campus. To be eligible to take the test with prior instruction, students must have had prior instruction in the subject or course as determined by the district and received a grade of at least a 60 in the course failed. To receive credit, The student must score a minimum grade of 70 and meet all other district requirements. To be eligible to earn credit by examination without prior instruction, students must meet all district requirements for that grade level or applicable course. To receive credit, the student must score a minimum of an 80 or better. A copy of the requirements may be picked up in the counselor's office. A student planning to take an examination for acceleration or credit recovery must register with his or her counselor by February 8th. Obituaries for Tuesday, February 7th. Clayton Alexander. Clayton Clady Riley Alexander passed away January 22nd after an 18-month battle with cancer. Clayton was born October 8th, 1952, to Joe and LaVon Alexander in St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada. He was raised in Fort Stockton. He is preceded in death by his parents, Joe and LaVon Alexander. He is survived by his wife, Connie, his children, Tamara Alexander, and Jonathan and wife Monique Alexander, sister Carrie Scarborough, brother Chris and wife Tracy Alexander, and three grandchildren. Also a Brazilian son, former exchange student, Pedro and wife Antonia Prado and their children. A celebration of life will be held at Stepping Stone Church, 2400 Elkins Road in Midland, February 10th at 1 p.m. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to Stepping Stone Ministry. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. George Joseph Joe Alexander. George Joseph Joe Alexander passed away February 1st at the age of 83 from complications of Alzheimer's disease. He was born July 8th, 1939, in Kansas City, Missouri, to Clevey Roy and Mary Elizabeth Alexander. He married Carolyn Sue McDonald in 1962. Joe was preceded in death by his parents, Clevey Roy and Mary Elizabeth, his sister Grace Ruth Petty, half-siblings Lowell Alexander and Zelma Corsentino. He is survived by his wife of 60 years, Carolyn Sue Alexander, his daughter, Joetta Alexander Bowl, and husband, Barrett, and one granddaughter. There are no services scheduled. Donations in Joe's name can be made to the Wounded Warrior Project. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Samuel Roberts. Samuel Sam C. Roberts, 64, of Midland, passed away January 30th. He is survived by his wife, Beverly L. Roberts of Midland, stepdaughter Megan Rutherford, and husband Jerry Woodbury, one granddaughter, his siblings M. Elizabeth Goff and husband Ronnie, Ruth N. Smith and husband Jeffrey, Stephen D. Roberts and wife Charlene, a brother-in-law Bill Brown Jr. and wife Geraldine, 12 grandchildren, 12 nieces and nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents, Franklin C. and N. May Roberts, and a brother, Daniel F. Roberts. Celebration of his life is scheduled for Thursday, February 9th at American Heritage Funeral Home, with viewing at 10 a.m. and a memorial service at 1 p.m. In lieu of flowers, please consider making donations to his favorite charities, West Texas Food Bank, Feed the Children, and the Salvation Army. Death notices. Betty Angelo. Betty Lou Angelo, 87, of Midland, passed away Sunday, February 5th. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, February 8th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will take place at 11 a.m. Thursday, February 9th, at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Burial will take place at 2 p.m. Friday, February 10th, at the Texas State Cemetery in Austin. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Betty Van Wee. Betty Van Wee, 96, of Midland, passed away February 4th. A celebration of life will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, February 10th, at the First Baptist Church Chapel in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Carol Fay Fulfer Sliger. Carol Fay Sliger, 84, of Midland, passed away February 3rd. A memorial service will be held at 3 p.m. Friday, February 10th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading The Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. College Culture Aim of Postsecondary Program. ECISD's new coordinator of post-secondary education, Rico Enriquez, is working to steer students toward a college-going culture, even starting at the elementary level. Enriquez replaces Elizabeth Gray, who is now the social emotional learning coordinator for the district. He will be helping students with everything from applying to college to financial aid and enrollment. We have to bring those opportunities to those kids, and that's why I'm in this role now. Liz did a great job of communicating that out to families, to our graduates, our alumni, and our current students. But we're constantly growing and our needs are growing, so we have to address that, Enriquez said. He added that it's not just current graduates or students that they are working on growing the college-going culture with. It's helping students even 6 years out and letting them know that if they need assistance, help is available. It's a tremendous task, it really is, Enriquez said, who earned his master's at UTPB, saying, "We're showing them the possibilities and trying to inspire them to grab hold of the opportunities that are available." One of his goals for the program is doing more outreach with economically disadvantaged students. It's really about informing, engaging, and removing barriers for our students, our families, and our alumni, Enriquez said. As our community grows, those needs are constantly changing, so we have to constantly be looking for new ways to engage and grow. He is planning a FAFSA and Apply to College night from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. February 16th in room C9 at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa. There will be a series of these nights in the coming months. There will also be a UTPB Falcon Showcase at Permian High School April 13th and one at Odessa High School April 20th. Both will be in front of the schools from 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Texas Tech University also will bring its Centennial Mobile Tour at 1 p.m. March 28th at Permian High School. Those are some things that are immediately happening, Enriquez said. He noted that the district has great partnerships with UTPB and Odessa College. That is invaluable to us because we're all working together. We want the same things for our community. We know that the more we engage our students in college enrollment and getting educated and getting certified in something, the better opportunities and chances we have for our workforce, Enriquez said. If you look at labor market indicators, our workforce is 3-4 years. We don't have enough people to do the work. We are in this business of having to outsource. We don't have the housing once they get the jobs either. Enriquez said this is a combined effort of all departments, such as post-secondary and guidance and counseling and curriculum and instruction. Everyone's part of that effort. We're integrated. We meet all of the time about it. What can we do to improve our efforts? We're constantly focused on that mission, and it's a good focus, I think, he added. Historically, students have thought they didn't have to finish high school. They could just go work in the oil field. It's an attractive option, actually, with what they're paying in the oil field. But so is getting an education and following your career interest, not just following a job, following a career interest, Enriquez said. One of the things that I think is helping me as I'm discovering this job is my background in CTE, career and technical education. Working with students on developing career interests, because career interest should be the starting point as a young person is going through school. Before we start talking about college, we talk about career interest, which leads into where you're going to go to college, where you're going to get your education. We don't just go to college, we develop career interests. So we have some things in place that address that through our Access Careers program that we have, he added. Enriquez has been with ECISD since 2003. He was at Midland ISD before that. He has been a teacher, counselor, and assistant principal. He grew up in Midland and graduated from Lee High School and served in the U.S. Marine Corps Reserves. He earned a bachelor's degree in English Language Arts from Texas Tech University. He also has a principal certification and master's degree in counseling education. He is a certified secondary counselor, a certified principal, and has a lifetime English teacher certification. He added that he can speak to students who are interested in joining the military in a real way because he served. The opportunities now in the military are huge as far as career. It's not just a means to get the GI Bill. It's a career opportunity for anybody, really. I am in close contact with our military recruiters. That's another part of the CCMR, College Career Military Readiness, that we're trying to grow because our students need to know that. You can get the GI Bill that will pay for your tuition and fees, but not only that, as a Texas veteran, you can get Hazelwood Act, which is 150 free college hours. It's free to students, but it's free college hours that you can use paid for by the university by state law. They absorb the cost. If the veteran chooses to pass that on to their biological children, they can do that, Enriquez said. Sometimes that's very appealing to students, he added. They want to experience the world of work and get a career going, but then have the option to go to college. It's a pretty good thing. We're trying to grow awareness about the opportunities in the military for our students and even our alumni, Enriquez said. He decided to go into education because he loves working with students and helping them improve their lives for the better. I came from a family where not too many of us had college degrees. My father was a very inspiring person to me because he was a high school dropout. Then, after Marine Corps, when he got educated, he got the diploma. For a lot of our families of poverty, it's a means to a better life, and it also leads them to being able to contribute to their community and add value back to their communities, Enriquez said. Shrimply Delicious Shrimp Fest to return for 37th year. It's the biggest fundraiser of the year for the Alan Noel Art Museum, and it returns this year at the end of the month. On February 27th, the Alan Noel Museum will be hosting its 37th annual Shrimp Fest fundraiser at the Ector County Coliseum inside Building G. The event serves as the museum's largest and most successful fundraiser of the year, where more than 1,200 people are expected to attend. "We are very excited," Shrimp Fest chairperson Betty Harold said. "It's going to be a great year. We have a lot of auction items, including trips that you can buy. We are very excited about the whole year." Guests are treated to an unlimited amount of Cajun shrimp and opportunities to bid on a variety of unique items, as a live and silent auction, as well as live entertainment, will also be included at the event. "We'll have the music," Harold said. "The more the merrier. There's going to be a lot of shrimp to eat." The silent and live auctions will include vacations, hunting trips, beauty products, jewelry, as well as art made by local artists. The Alan Noel Art Museum may currently be at a temporary location at the Presidential Archives right next door, but that hasn't changed the museum's many activities and classes. "It helps support all of our community education events," Harold said. "That's what this event is for. That hasn't changed even if we're not working in the museum's original location. We still have all the events that we're working on." This year, the museum has partnered with American Fundraising Foundation, an establishment that supports nonprofits with their fundraising endeavors through a silent auction that offers extraordinary trips. General admission tickets are $50 in advance and $55 at the door and include entry to the event, unlimited shrimp, and a drink. "We've been doing Shrimp Fest for 37 years, Harold said. "I think people in the community are aware that this is the day where they can get all the shrimp they want to eat and enjoy the whole function." For tickets and more information about this year's Shrimp Fest, go to tinyurl.com/32S6YDV2. Quick Hits Free Tax Assistance. The Ector County Northside Senior Center, 1225 Adams Avenue, has scheduled free tax assistance for seniors from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays through April 11th. Appointment is required. For more information or to make an appointment, call 432-337-5281. PBAA meeting and indoor shoot. The Permian Basin Archers Association has scheduled a meeting and indoor shoot at 6:30 p.m. today at 3700 Kermit Highway. Cost is $15 for members, $25 for non-members, $5 for winter champions, and free for 18 and younger. Visit tinyurl.com/3FTVYPSA. Lyle Levitt and his acoustic group, the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland, has scheduled an evening with Lyle Levitt and his acoustic group today. The doors open at 7 p.m. and the event starts at 8 p.m. Visit tinyurl.com/57VC6D3C. Valentine's Contest. Downtown Odessa Incorporated has scheduled a Valentine's Contest through February 14th. Visit 5 downtown businesses and upload the photos and add hashtag Downtown Odessa on Instagram for a chance to win a 1-week stay at the Odessa Marriott for a couple's revival retreat at Revival Float Spa. visit tinyurl.com/2s4f8w8z. PBAF Scholarships, Permian Basin Area Foundation, has opened the 2024 scholarship cycle. Students and counselors may view eligibility and selection criteria for scholarships on the PBAF website, www.pbaf.org. The application opened January 1st and the deadline is March 31st. Permian Basin Area Foundation awarded more than $1 million in scholarships to area students during the last academic year. These awards are made possible by numerous donations to the foundation's scholarship funds in support of local students pursuing higher education. To learn more about scholarships, grants, and the philanthropic work of donors partnering with Permian Basin Area Foundation, visit www.pbaf.org or call 432-617-3213. Ella Noel to host Valentine Making Workshop. The Ella Noel Art Museum of the Permian Basin is hosting a Valentine Making Workshop from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Saturday at 4919 East University Boulevard in Odessa. The public is invited to celebrate Valentine's Day with the museum and create an original, unique Valentine using collage and rubber stamp techniques and enjoy other hands-on art activities. ENAM's Valentine Making Workshop is a free event intended for all ages. The museum will be open and guests will have an opportunity to tour current exhibits, enjoy art activities, as well as visit with ECISD Early Childhood Department. In addition to all the fun, the Presidential Archives Bush Boyhood Home will also be available for tours during the event. For more information, contact Emma Valdez at 432-550-9696, extension 214, or visit noelartmuseum.org. The Noel Art Museum is open Tuesday through Sunday, noon to 5 p.m. Thursdays, noon to 8 p.m. Admission is free. For more information on exhibits and events, visit www.noelartmuseum.org or call 432-550-9696 or stop by 4919 East University Boulevard, Odessa. OPD seizes more than 140 grams of cocaine. A surveillance operation resulted in the arrest of two men and the seizure of more than 140 grams of cocaine last week. According to an Odessa Police Department report, detectives received tips someone was selling cocaine out of a GMC pickup, and as they were watching it on Thursday, they saw what they thought was a drug transaction between the people in the GMC and Alejandro Solis, who had arrived in a Jeep Gladiator. When detectives tried to stop both vehicles in the parking lot of the Road Ranger truck stop on Interstate 20, the people in the GMC threw a package containing nearly 136 grams of cocaine at the people in the Jeep and took off, the report stated. The driver of the Jeep, identified as Joshua Tijerina, purposefully threw the Jeep into reverse and rammed the police car behind it. According to the report, Tijerina was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault against a public servant. He was released from the Ector County Jail Friday after posting a $50,000 surety bond. Solis, who also had nearly 9 grams of cocaine in his pocket, admitted he'd facilitated a cocaine transaction from the people in the GMC to another individual. Solis was arrested on suspicion of manufacturing of a controlled substance. He too was released from the Ector County Jail Friday after posting a $50,000 surety bond. Both the assault and the drug charge are first-degree felonies punishable by 5 years to life in prison. Odessan arrested in connection with burglaries. an Odessa man who was given a chance by two separate judges last year, was arrested last week in connection with four car burglaries and a theft case. According to Ector County District Court records, Dylan Daniels, 30, was placed on 10 years community supervision in April 2022 by Judge Justin Lowe after he pleaded guilty in connection with a December 2021 theft case. 3 months later, Daniels was indicted in connection with a November 2021 home burglary, and in October, now retired Judge James Rush placed Daniels on 10 years of intensive probation after he pleaded guilty. Prosecutors sought warrants on Daniels' arrest on December 6th after police alleged he broke into four pickup trucks on November 4th, failed to report to his probation officer, and failed to make his monthly fee payment, court records show. In addition, a warrant was issued for Daniels when he was indicted January 24th for allegedly stealing tools, equipment, clothing, and shoes on the same day he was accused of breaking into vehicles. According to Odessa police reports, Daniels was linked to the vehicle burglaries after a Yeti cooler that had been stolen from one of the trucks was placed up for sale on Facebook by someone using the name Defier and DeQueen. Officers confirmed the person from the Facebook page and the person seen on the surveillance videos committing the burglaries was Daniels, reports indicate. On Friday, officers went into a residence to search for Daniels, but he escaped through a hole in the bathroom floor and ran away, reports indicate. He was caught and booked into the Ector County Jail on the warrants and on suspicion of evading arrest or detention with a previous conviction. OPD records indicate that because he had 0.60 grams of methamphetamine in his possession, he was also arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance. Daniels remains in custody. Cornyn Cruz introduced bill to extend federal court proceedings in West Texas. U.S. Senators John Cornyn and Ted Cruz, both Texas Republicans, introduced the Improving Access to Our Courts Act to allow federal court proceedings to be conducted at the U.S. District Court in Alpine, which is one of the seven U.S. District Courts for the Western District of Texas and serves nine Texas counties. A news release detailed that the legislation will clarify in law that federal court proceedings may be held in Alpine for the Western District of Texas and in Mount Vernon, Washington for the Western District of Washington. Currently, litigants typically sign waivers to allow for court proceedings in Alpine. Updating the law to remove this bureaucratic hurdle will streamline court proceedings and encourage more local court proceedings in the Alpine Courthouse. There is no new cost associated with this bill, as both courthouses are currently operational, the release said. The American system of checks and balances relies on the strength of our three branches of government, Cornyn said in the release. This legislation will support the important work happening in West Texas federal courtrooms and the mission of our judicial branch by increasing the number of local cases that can be processed. Cruz said in the release that he is proud to work with his colleagues in Texas to increase accessibility to federal courts for victims, parties, counsel, and the general public. Through this needed action, the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Texas will be able to provide more efficient service to the people of West Texas, allowing them to seek redress without needing to drive for several hours to the nearest federal courthouse. Justice has come home, Cruz added. Senators Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell, both Washington Democrats, are co-sponsors of the bill. U.S. House of Representatives Tony Gonzalez, Texas 23, Rick Larson, Washington 2, and Suzanne Delbene, Democrat, Washington 1, are filing a House companion bill.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.